and welcome to The Dorothy Project. My name's Alice Beverton-Palmer. I'm a DJ at the ludicrous London club night Push the Button, an activist with the campaign group RVT Future, and this podcast is where I spend half an hour or so getting to know women like me who found a home in queer society. Today, that woman is the film director Shelley Chopra-Dhar. Her critically acclaimed debut movie, Ek Ladki Ko Dekha To Aisa Laga, which translates as How I Felt When I Saw That Girl, is the first commercial Bollywood movie to put a lesbian couple centre stage. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix and I massively recommend it. It's really touching. Me and my husband were in bits by the end. Now, I don't like spoilers, but in the interest of you knowing what I'm talking about with Shelley, here's a quick rundown of Ek Ladki's plot. So it tells the story of small-town girl Sweetie, who's under pressure to get married, what's new. A playwright, Sahil, meets her, falls in love, and then turns up in her hometown under the pretext of putting on an Amdram production. Bit creepy. Everyone, including Sahil himself, assume that him and Sweetie are a sure thing, which isn't popular because he's Muslim and she's not. So he's floored when he ends up in her bedroom, drunk at a party, and she reveals she's actually in love with a girl. When he's sobered up, they meet again, and Sweetie tells him her life story, her childhood, her secret girlfriend, what it's like in the closet. Sahil decides to help Sweetie come out via his community theatre show, and he writes a play about two women in love. And here's where the film is so clever, because it anticipates and foregrounds all the different reactions to the movie and to people coming out. Some of the play's audience walk out, some are won over. And Sweetie's conservative dad is shocked, but he then finds her diary. He finally understands his daughter, and he ends up being the biggest champion of her relationship. So to put into context how groundbreaking this movie was, when Shelley made it, homosexuality was still illegal in India, and that's only 2 years ago. Article 377 was ruled unconstitutional, effectively decriminalising homosexuality, in September 2018, only as the finishing touches were being made to the film. So I started by asking Shelley what life's like for LGBTQ people in India today.
So I think it has changed a lot. It has a very large community. And unfortunately, I would only be able to speak about Mumbai because that's where I was. And I don't know, I'm sure of this, that in small towns, which is why I placed my film in a small town, it's harder. It's much harder for the community to accept, for the society to accept, for parents more than anybody else to accept. And they all try to shove it under the rug, or they try to change it, or they try to, you know, do some silly things with it. But I just don't think they're educated enough even to understand it. And then, of course, the stigma, the it's the conditioning from beginning that you have grown up with, and all of those play a role. And which is why I was adamant to have this story in a small town, not even a small city. And definitely not a big city, definitely not Delhi or Bombay, and definitely not a big city even, but a town which is the most conservative in terms of thinking.
And the style of the movie in terms of, you know, making sure it reached people in small towns, like you mentioned that you would have wanted to make it whatever the budget, whatever the scale,
but
do you think it's made a big difference that it was this commercial, mainstream style and distribution?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. That was the attraction. Well, let me go back and say this, that my intention was not to make a small budget film or to make a film with small actors. That was never the intention. I always knew that I wanted to make it, which is why the story is written in a very commercial film style. If it had to be an art film, or if I didn't care to reach that many people, the story would be different. It would not be like this. I would not wait until halftime to have Sweetie come out. It would have happened in my third frame, if I was making it as I would have liked to make it. to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's funny. I felt really like the two halves of the film, it's really clever the way you draw people in, and there's more kind of comedic side plots and different characters. And then the emotional heft of the second half is,
But and the reason to write the story like that, to include it with the comedy and so many characters and go about it, it's like holding your ear from like this, was so that it can be placed on a big commercial canvas. And the and when I say that I would have worked with any budget and any people is if the big stars had said, oh, not for us. I would have still made the film. But my preference was to take the biggest and the best so that I can attract the community, I can attract the smaller towns, because those guys, and actually that's one of the problems that has been in the industry in the past, is that films on this subject have either been made in a very derogatory fashion. They'll show the gay people in a very sort of a funny way or a caricature way, or you know, derogatory fashion, that people, they make people laugh at them, which upsets me. Mm. And then the second way is that you make a very sort of an artistic film, which just by the nature of what those films are, they have a very limited audience. You know, they're very hard to watch. Even maybe the film critics, or maybe very, very, very small section of society will enjoy that slower pace. But the general audience is not going to go in for that. So you never talk, so nobody, they never hear that.
Mm.
You can make the best film and win all the awards, but nobody's going to see it.
And I was going to ask you, because I'm aware that Sonam Kapoor has been a kind of ally to the LGBT community. So was she someone in particular who you knew, you know, that would be the goal to get her involved and that she would be a good kind of partner to have?
And that was one of the reasons that I went to her, was that I knew that she was, that she was with the community, that she had already helped them in the past, and she always spoke for that. She was pro-LGBTQ. And that was a big reason that I did go to her.
Tell me how you got there. I believe you did. You went to film school, is that right? In the States.
So my background is actually, first of all, to really start from the beginning just quickly, is that I come from a family of films. So my oldest brother had a big production house in India, which he did a lot of big, big, big films. His name was Ramanand Sagar. And he also did television very big time. So I kind of grew around hearing film talk, actors, studios, people. But in India at that time, for girls to even think about entering the industry in any form at all was such a big no, that it was so conditioned that you yourself grew up conditioned that was never going to be allowed, of course. I mean, that was a given. So you don't even think that. Even if you thought it, it's never going to happen. So I never thought it, because it was never going to be allowed. Growing up, it was never an option to even think about it. Even though my brother, directly older than me, went into film school in India, Vinod, but they got me married and packed off.
And this one in particular, am I right in thinking it was partly inspired by your son, your own son's journey?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was just like any other parent. And when I had found out about my son, I think he was 13, I think, 12 or 13, something like
that. Yeah.
And it was shocking. And it took me 2 days. I have to say, it took me 2 days. For the first day, I was too much in shock, and I did not know how to handle it. And it pulled me down, not because he was gay, but because my heart sank that he is going to have a hard life in front of him. And that hurt me, that why does he have to go through such a hard time? in life because I know how society is, how people are. And then after those 2 days, it's my style that I think things through, and then I came through with it, and I started to think, you know, of course it's as normal as I am. It's like I said at the end of the film,
yeah.
You and I are as different from each other. I mean, I'm as different from you as you are from me.
Yeah.
So that makes us equal.
Yeah.
There is no difference.
And she said, this is my normal.
This is your normal. Yeah. This is my normal. So who is going to say whose normal is normal? Nobody. Nobody has the right to say that. It's only that we imagine, you know, it's like you give a child a picture to draw and say, you draw a happy picture. It'll be one house, one dad, mom, one brother, one sister, one dog, if you're in America. But that's it. So you are conditioned into believing, even as parents for me, when you think of your child and when you think of how they are going to be happy, what is it you think? Same thing. Oh, they're going to have a home, they'll have a wife or a husband, children, But that's my way of thinking what is happiness. That's not your or his way of thinking what is happiness. If the goal at the end is happiness, how I get to it and how you get to it is irrelevant. So long as we get to that point of happiness. That should be my goal, not the journey and not the way. So the minute I realized for myself, I'm talking, this is my own therapy to me, that at the end of the day, what is it that I want for my kid? You know, that I want him to be happy. I want him to be successful in life. What is successful in life? Number one, health. Number two, peace of mind. Number three, money. Because if you have money and you don't have the other two, it's useless. But if you have these two and don't have money, you're still okay. You know? So in that priority is my wish for my children. And he might be happier not getting married. Or he might be happier with whoever he chooses to be. He might adopt some children. He might do it another way. He might not. Doesn't matter. It's his choice and his way of finding happiness that I have to be happy with. That was it. Then it's a breeze.
Then when you came back around to thinking,
and
what movie?
I felt that, and one of the things my son told me, you know, he says that as you grow up, you know, of course, he says when he's, by the way, a therapist himself. And he's an amazing therapist. He's loved by everybody. He works in California in the Kaiser Hospital chain. And he, when they do a survey of people, he's the only one who gets 100%. And nobody wants him to take any vacations. I'm so mad. It's like, and he doesn't want to. He's so compassionate and giving, and he's always just thinking about other people. So he says to me that we had to take a test where we had to talk about our childhood and have to talk about things that, you know, we have grown up with that are hard for us and all that. And he said to me, you know, Mom, when I went back, thanks to you and Dad and the family, there was nothing in my background that I could come up with which had made me sad or I had was unhappy or at any point felt any different or anything. That was, I thought, an amazing feedback.
Yeah.
Coming from a gay child.
Yeah.
Saying that I have zero negative memories of anything. So we have done something right. And I wanted all kids in the world, all children, to grow up not feeling they are wrong. And problem is that the society conditions you into believing that. And parents are who? They're also children who have grown up. So they grow up believing that. And the children, as they are coming into the world, because of that surrounding, themselves think they are wrong. Which is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. So where do you, I don't believe in dealing with symptoms. What's the root? Where do you have to go? Some people had a problem with me that you're writing a story that is the male domination they are helping. But you know what? You have to think about how to make it right in the world today. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about let's educate the younger kids. Yes, we do that for the next generation. But what about the generation today? What about the little children now who are 5 years old, 6 years old, who already show those symptoms and the parents refuse to see them? How about those children and those parents? So it was important to tackle. So my film is more about a parent in a small community handling the situation of a gay child than it is really about the gay child.
Because I was going to ask you, it's interesting when people like make stories about another community that they're not part of, but you're so right, actually. This is the parents understanding and the family coming to understand. And in that sense, it's your story that you are telling.
It is. Because at the end of the day, you are the one. You change your children's lives. You contribute to who they become and who they will eventually become in life, you know. So it's a major responsibility, you know, for parents and especially of gay children to make sure that they are not treated any different. They don't need to be. There is no difference. It's not about I'm going to treat them the same. It's about understanding that there is no reason to be normal with them. That's how it should be to begin with.
Yeah.
There is no difference.
I always think, here in the UK, we've had some horrible protests fairly recently about against LGBT education in schools. And the things that the parents against it don't seem to want to understand is they say, the children are too young to hear about these things. What if the children are going to grow up
Absolutely.
To be LGBT?
What is too young? I mean, what is it we teach? When do we teach them about the birds and the bees?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What is the age?
So was there a reason why you chose to make the movie about a female love story?
Really, no. But it's because that's even less common that comes out in India. You've heard about it's always the men who are gay, you know. You don't hear about the women, and again, there is no difference. You know, we're all the same. If the guy is gay, the girl can be a lesbian. So I felt that even some of the art films that have come out in India, most of them, you know, they are mostly, even in America, everywhere, actually, they are mostly male-dominated. And why? Why does it have to be male-dominated? You know, it's the same thing for women.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about the women.
Yeah,
it's important.
One of the things I noticed, so I started off this podcast thinking, I'll speak to women who are kind of part of gay male culture. And then I realized that because of just the way that men dominate society,
they do.
Even within kind of lesbian society or lesbians in the wider kind of gay world, it's still dominated. It's still a male dominated
yes.
world.
So I changed
yeah.
it. Why? It doesn't have to be.
No.
Let's make it with women.
Really beautiful story. Yeah. They have such chemistry, the two.
Yes,
the two
they
leads.
Do. And that casting was so hard.
I bet.
Oh, my God. Because Sonam is so beautiful and so tall and so lovely. I mean, that was one of her, you know, she's so innocent looking. I just, you know, felt that her persona was perfect for a simple, innocent sweetie. And how do you find a match for that? And if you go after a known actress who's equally beautiful and everything, do you match up with her in India, in Bollywood? The minute anybody would look at the casting or the minute the film would begin and the other girl would come in my mind, I didn't want to open the film up. I wanted to keep it as a surprise till the midpoint. You know, I did not want to market it as in that it would be a gay love story. I wanted it to be not say anything and just say it's a love story and let people go and let them experience it, which was what I wanted. So I felt that if you take somebody beautiful, you know, and big actress, it would give away right up front. But at the same time, if I took somebody in a sort of a B position, it would not do justice to the role, because in weight, that person has to come up equal to Sonam for it to be a love story, you know, and had to be somebody equally. So I went to the South and I picked one of the top actresses from the South side. I was very protective about the script. Unless you were in the script, like Sonam would be, or even the agents, I had not allowed them to be in there for the sittings. I did not want anybody to know what the film was about.
So it literally exactly mirrors the plot of the movie with the play within the...
I did not. None of the agents knew what the film was about. And I made everybody, of course, sign the confidentiality. I never let go because I knew she was the one.
Yeah.
I just knew in my heart that I will never find a better kuhu than her. And I also knew that if I don't have somebody like her, it will not hold. It will just not hold because it'll be lopsided. Unless their love, as it is, I was not going to show anything in the love. I wasn't going to show any kissing or love scenes because I wanted it to reach a major audience. And I didn't want people to get upset or offended or whatever, you know. I wanted them to be able to sit and enjoy the love rather than the physical love. Because in India, this also is a problem. And I said, I'm not going to give them an excuse, you know. Actually, I was very worried when you take the film for the, you know, when you go for the... you know, when they give you the rating, what's it called? For the...
Yeah, the certification.
Certification. So they have to see the film and they have to give a certification. So I had actually, when I shot the film, I had shot some optional parts. Because I was sure that they're going to come back and say, this is not allowed, this is not allowed, this is not allowed. The girls hugging, the girls touching, the girls close up. I thought they would say, you know, they were going to give me a hard time. So I was very worried about it, about some of the dialogues and, you know. And when they were watching the film, I swear, I was sitting outside like you have just given your exam and you're sitting for the result. You know, the principal is going to come out and give me my result. I was so nervous. When the film ended, I ran inside and there were six people who watched the film and they gave me a standing ovation. And they said, we are not going to change one frame. On the contrary, they said it's a family movie.
I bet you weren't expecting that to be the...
I was not expecting.
So because it's interesting, because I noticed that, and obviously I'm used to Hollywood movies, which, you know, there's lots of kind of kissing and things like that. And I feel like you were dancing on the line.
I was dancing on.
You know, what's the most I can do without shutting people out?
Absolutely.
And it's interesting, like the way you put the movie together and then the external. Yeah. There's like so many layers of doing the same kind of way of reaching people. And the response, I guess there's the kind of cinemas in India and then there's globally on streaming services like Netflix.
Yeah.
How has the response been?
So from the feedback that I personally have received from individuals, I cannot even begin to tell you. I cannot even how gratifying that is to know what a difference it has made to people's lives. I could read an excerpt of an email from somebody I just received, actually just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
You will see she was, you know, she says that she was in a relationship for so long and her parents would not accept it. And she said she caught her father saw the film. After 7 years, he spoke to her.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I just saw the film and I came back and I'm sorry. And he cried. And for the first time, she wrote to me, I'm going home. And she says, my mother is not quite there yet. But she accepted, and my father was crying because he saw the film and he came back and said, what have we done? and I am actually marrying my partner.
Wow.
After so many years. And this is only one of the stories.
Yeah.
There are so many like this that people have used this film as a tool to come out. There is a 13-year-old kid from California. This was somebody I know, a Romanian lady who just called me. She's from Romania. And she said to me, my son took me to see the film, saw the film and came out and said, you understand, Mom? And she said, I understood from the film what he was trying to do. He couldn't tell me, but he told me, I am sweetie. So people are taking their parents to see the film, asking them to go see the film, and saying, go see the film, then we'll talk. Wow. And then they're saying, I'm sweetie. So there are so many people, and that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, absolutely.
That people are coming out saying, I am sweetie. And parents are understanding it.
Yeah.
So it has brought back families together. And I remember when I used to speak to my team and talk about the film, I used to say, and they would tell me, you know, they would all question, oh, ma'am, you really think it's going to be released? Because that time 377 was still in force. You think they're going to allow it to be run in theaters? You think people will go see it? Won't they be scared? Blah, 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 blah. And I would say that, you know, if it changes one person's life, we have done our job. But I can guarantee you we have changed many lives. Many lives.
It's an amazing legacy.
Yeah.
And do you have any plans to make any more movies? What's in the pipeline?
You know, I there are so many paradigms that need to be broken. This was, of course, the biggest and one of them, which was important for me to try and break. But there is really so many issues in the world, small and other big ones, which also affect our life, you know, our personalities, our communities, our society. So I will definitely, whatever film subject matter that I go into, it will be something that I believe in is, you know, we are not handling it right and we need to look at it differently. And there's many of those subjects, really.
Oh, I can't wait to see what Shelley makes next. Next week, I'm talking to the photographer Corinne Cummings. Corinne is the woman who makes Push the Button Look Good. And I have no idea how you take nice photos of people in a sold-out Vauxhall Tavern with lasers everywhere and the smoke machine on. Corinne's also part of the Bitten Peach, a Pan-Asian drag collective. I wanted to talk to her because she's made a name for herself as the photographer for the London drag scene and works closely with my Drag Race UK fave, Cheryl Hole. I often think about the gaze of who is making and documenting culture, and I thought it was interesting that one of the most prominent people recording our drag scene is a woman. But for now, don't forget to subscribe, rate and review The Dorothy Project on Apple Podcasts. I'm not too proud to beg. You can also follow us on Twitter at @Dorothy_podcast. Please do tweet and tell me who you think I should interview next. See you next week.